Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Well-known verse. I think there's a necessity to remind ourselves the benchmark or the expectation of God on our journey, on this journey, which is to delight in His Word. See, the very first verse gives three options that the world gives him. Who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. There are counsel of the wicked all around you today for problems that are facing you. There are so many places where you can go and stand, which are path of sinners. You can dwell there like Lot did, or you can stand in the path. He does not even stand in the path, does not walk in the counsel. And certainly does not sit in the seat of scoffers. See, these are all incremental things. Walking is going by, not staying, but it's a beginning. And then there is a standing phase. Standing, you now begin to stand. And then the final phase is sit in the seat of scoffers. You're not walking, you're not standing, you begin to actually sit there. These three things are rejected by the child of God, and that man is called blessed because he's refusing to walk in the path, refusing to stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Stay. But instead of that, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. See, I have heard some very senior Christians. I say this with all brokenness. I've heard this older Christians say, I don't want to hear the word of God. I don't want another session on Bible. I don't want a Bible study. It's boring. We know that. You give them John Maxwell, they'll sit and gulp it up. Any philosophy, any teaching, any teaching, any counseling, any leadership stuff, any management stuff, any quick way to get ahead than the rest. We don't realize everybody's reading the same book, right? How many is going to get ahead? The guy is going to sell all his books. What foolishness. I've sat there and grieved to hear senior people, older people, godly people. Sometimes even in the ministry world, you hear that enough of Bible study. Oh, that's too long. And they move away from the Word of God. Unknown to them, the step they're doing, like this step, right? The first verse is incremental. Walking by, stopping, and now sitting. That's the attraction. That's how the enemy operates, okay? He doesn't grab you and make you sit. No, he just wants you to walk by one day. 2 days later, he invites you to stand. And a few weeks later, or a few days later, you're sitting there, you're dwelling there. I want to ask you, how This is true in your life. In a situation, as I said, when there are so many around, all over the world, I'm telling this all over the world, all over the country, all around us are men and women, godly men and women, children of God, who unknown to them are rejecting the word of God. They're saying, oh, word of God, Bible teaching. Oh, if you're planning a retreat or something, they say, oh, Bible teaching, how about 20 minutes? Some guy talking about leadership, we'll give him 1.5 hours. What do you want? Man's wisdom from heaven? God who created you, his wisdom? You know, we unintentionally do this. We look down. Increasingly, there is a looking down on leadership, on biblical teaching. All around the world, people want to hear. They choose whom they want to hear, and it's all nice, fancy stuff. Feel good things that makes you feel good. Word of God doesn't make you feel good. It convicts you. It's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit uses the Word of God as a sword. And so it's painful. But it is life. I want us to look at another verse that says this. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Moses is saying this. Chapter 10, verse 20. You shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him and cling to him. Cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. You shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him and cling to him. And you shall swear by his name. How do you cling to God? Have you wondered on that? How do you cling to God? Another verse I want to say again of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. Again, cling. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. Choose life. This is life. Word of God is life. You are supposed to cling to this. I'll read another passage from Psalm 119, 31. 119, 31. I cling to your testimonies. I cling to your testimonies. Oh Lord, do not put me to shame. I cling to your testimonies. What are God's testimonies? It's of God's word. They say, cling to him. He says, I cling to the testimonies. Invisible God, man of God is here clinging to God's word. The word is given to us. What an amazing models we have, examples, witnesses we have. Even Psalm 119, look at how many times delight comes. 119, verse 16. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. 24. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. See, we heard counselors. See, I don't walk away from counselors and go counselorless. I say, I know everything. The word of God is my counselor. Marry this verse with that verse in verse 1. Right? Where he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. The choice is walking between the counsel of the wicked and the counsel of God Himself. And again in 35, make me walk in the path of your righteousness, for I delight in it. 47, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. 70, their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. 77, may your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. 92, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Again, that verse, that chapter 105 is an amazing verse. We all know this verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, coming back to delight, 143, trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of suffering, 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. How am I giving all these references? Men of God, women of God, through human history, who also had chance of listening to worldly counsel. They had a lot of worldly counselors everywhere, right? But they chose to listen to this unseen God. God, because He's holy, He does not reveal Himself to us, because we are not holy. Oh, unto us if He reveals Himself, right? You saw what happened to the shepherds when just one angel showed up. Imagine God. John shows that, right, in Revelation. Says, I fell down like a dead man. That's your Father and my Father, your God and my God. And He has spoken and He has given His word that does not return to Him void until it has finished what it is supposed to do, right? And that God is asking this morning, how are you in the journey of delighting in my word? Because that everything about your prosperity, your blessing, all that God has for you depends on your clinging to His word. You cannot wallow in the mud of worldly counsel, worldly wisdom. Sinners and scoffers be there and still say, I want God's best. I want God's favor. I want God's blessing over me and my generation. No. You shun that. There is a no that is needed before a yes is given. You and I walking away, turning away from evil. Job did, turning away from evil. Constantly turning away from evil. That is the call of God on you and me. So, I want us to read Isaiah 55. Verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bare and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. This is the word. This is no ordinary word, my friend. Do not dumb down the word of God. Do not lessen it. Along with worship, may there be a worship of God, of God's name, and of God's word. Let it increase. Let me stand in reverence of God's word. We have saints gone before us who never read the word of God except on their knees. They read the word of God on the knees. Why? Because they knew this was the word of God, right posture. That is the word of God, how it has been treated through the centuries. In this new season where everything is dumbed down, do not join those ranks of dumbing down the word of God. I say this as a plea and I say this as a warning. There are many around us who dumb down the word of God. Oh, word of God. No, I've heard it. I know it. What do you know? This is life. This is life. This is life. I want to challenge you. I'm not against the teachings of leadership teachings, John Maxwell, any other wisdom teachings. But do not belittle the word of God. Let it have a high place in your life. That this God, whose word is this word of God, he says, it will not come back to me without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Such people who talk lightly of the word of God on the day when they are in crisis, when they are about to be arrested, they will quote the word of God and they'll fall on their face and cry to the God using his words. I want to tell you, I know I'm being harsh this morning. The more your territory increases, the more God is increasing you, the more you need to hide yourself in the word of God. You need to lock your room and sit alone with the word of God. You need to have the revelation of God. You need to have the Rhema word of God before you go out to the day. God will give you directions for the rest of the day by just sitting at his feet. He'll do it. He does this all the time. All the time. Look around your life. Look around your time, life. Just this weekend is gone. Even today is a holiday, right? How much of the time you're allocating for God? It's a holiday. How much time are you giving to other things? You probably give more time to gardening and working with the hobbies and pets than you give to the word of God. And you expect God to sustain us. That's why the whole burden is on us now. Either you fear God and you don't have to be afraid of God. Isaiah says that. Or the reverse is true. Because you have chosen not to fear, you have to be afraid of everything else if you don't stand in fear of the Most High God. I want to challenge you, request you, as a brother, cling to the word of God. You're looking for life, right? You're looking for blessing. You're looking for prosperity. You're looking for the way of life, for eternity with God, for no man to stand before you, right? No shame for you. Nothing can stand before you, right? Yes. If all this is true, cling to the word of God. Cling to him. Cling to his testimonies. Cling to the word of God. Nothing will stand before you. You belittle the word of God. You belittle the word of God. You know, the opposite happens. Actually, nobody here hearing this will belittle the word of God or dumb down the word of God or talk badly about the word of God. It does not return to him void. It accomplishes all through human history. Word of God fulfills the purposes of God. And when you and I claim it over your family, or your marriage, over your health, by his stripes I am healed. Claim it over the diseases that you have. Claim it over every bottlenecks, every delays, every hindrances, every attacks of the enemy. Claim the word of God. Then it comes alive again in your life. And if any wrong word has gone out in your mouth, I beg you, ask forgiveness of the Lord today. fall before him and say, stupidly like a child, I've said things against the word of God. May God renew our fear, our awe of the word of God. Malachi. God tells us of Malachi. In Malachi, of his servant Aaron, the priest, this is what he says. Talks about this priest. True, I'll read the previous verse also. 2:5, Malachi 2:5. My covenant with him was one of life and peace. I gave them to him as an object of reverence. The covenant given to Aaron was life and peace. I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. Revering God is something else, and standing in awe of God's name is something else. See, it's two different things. Don't mix it. Revering God, and God expects if you are also revering his name. True instruction was in his mouth, which is the word, the law was in his mouth. Unrighteousness was not found on his lips. Like this psalmist is not walking in the path of sinners. You know, he refuses the counsel. True instruction, law of God was in his mouth. Unrighteousness, worldly teaching was not on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, because true righteousness, and he feared God, feared his name, and he turned many back from iniquity. Natural outcome of a life that fears God, fears his name, has the word of God in his mouth. God gives life and peace. And the outcome of that, natural outcome, you turn many from unrighteousness to righteousness. Shall we pray? Father God, this morning, draw us to your word like never before. Draw us to the water, living water, like never before. Give us a thirst for more and more and more. We meditate on the law of God, on your law, Lord. Many around us are meditating and becoming experts on the law of man, the laws of the land, the income tax laws, and laws on this and laws on that. Father, help us, separate us, to really meditate day and night on your word. May life, peace, blessings, and prosperity. Your word says that. It's like a tree planted by the streams. It will see no bad season. In season, every season, there will be what is to be. Thank you. In Jesus' name.